Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Here's my cue. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is Jonathan, our producer and resident tech dude. That's your cue.
I see what you're doing here. What's going on, guys?
And also joining us is Ryan, our co-host and the number one Disney dude. Here's your cue, Ryan.
Right on cue, Carl. What's up, dudes?
And here's my cue. I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's podcast as we journey to your favorite attraction. In case you haven't guessed it, we're talking about the best cues at Walt Disney World.
Wait, I thought as the producer, I'm the one supposed to be giving the cues here, not the other way around.
You are giving the cues. I was just explaining where the cues were.
I thought we were not going to do a Jungle Cruise show on this show. So many bad jokes.
You know, Walt Disney World has, over time, you know, developed more and more elaborate entranceways, cues, and pre-shows to set the mood and tone for the attraction. And it's become part of it. Very cleverly done, if you think about the massive wait times for some of these wonderful attractions all over Walt Disney World. You've got to keep your people entertained as they wait. Now, in a long time ago, when the queues were less interesting, less dramatic, less interactive, less special, they might have been outside in the hot Florida sun, so they created shade some way. And they might have included some entertainment. Live music, for example, was used a lot of times to entertain people at Walt Disney World while they patiently waited to enter that show, attraction, or ride. But Disney, in their infinite wisdom to tell stories and their creative, has really done improvements over the years. And as a matter of fact, I think every time a new attraction comes out, there's a lot of attention put into the queues as well. And we thought we would go around and name some of our favorite queues or best pre-shows at Walt Disney World and share with you why we think they're such. Did I cover everything there, gentlemen?
I think you did. Yeah. Yeah. I think you got it covered there, Carl.
Good. Because few minutes ago, we had no idea what we were doing, and here we are with a show. So, look at favorite ones. I mean, there are some good ones, right? Recently, so I want to pick some of my favorites, but I know there's some of the guys' favorites too, and then they'll be upset that I picked their favorite cues. So, John, why don't you kick us off with one of your favorite cues, or what you think is one of the top cues?
So. One I'm going to throw out here, and I'm not shocked at all because I'm fairly confident that's right on the top of your guys' list as well, is Flight of Passage over in Animal Kingdom. This one, when this one came out, it was, there's nothing really before been created like that in Disney Park. Again, for what the queue wait time is, I believe the overall wait time for that line can be up to 6 hours, if I remember correctly. The multiple rooms, the multiple large rooms with very, very unique scenes and everything in it and how detailed it is awesome. It really makes waiting through that long of a queue to make that ride well worth it, because the queue in itself is almost a ride in itself.
No, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, when you get, you know, there's sections when you're outside and then you're inside, but you think you're outside at night. And when you're going through the labs and everything, I mean, it really is impressive. And the Navi animatronic is very impressive in that, you know, it's just as impressive as I think the Shaman in a lot of ways. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that's one of the better ones. Wouldn't you think so, Ryan?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would put that in their Mount Rushmore of best queues, you know, at Walt Disney World. The only thing that gets me with that one is if you do have a lightning lane to get past it, you miss a lot of that. And you really just, so people who have never waited in the full line might not realize how cool it is, because a lot of times you skip all that and you just wind up in like concrete hallways. You know, so yeah, that's a little bit different. And they're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? But yeah, if you stand through that full line, if you have the joy of living through that 3 hour line, that 3 hour queue, at least it's one of the better ones.
Absolutely. I love that concept, the Mount Rushmore of queues. So which next queue would you carve in that Stone Mountain?
I'm just going to get this one out of the way now because I don't want anybody else to steal it. And I think it's appropriate for me to put it in there. We've debated a lot about this and how much I don't care as much for the attraction itself. But the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run would definitely be carved into that mountain for me. The queue is worth standing in on its own for any Star Wars fan, especially for a couple of different reasons. Number one, you know, going through and having the Hondo animatronic talking to you about how, you know, what the mission is and what you're doing in the Millennium Falcon, it's a really impressive animatronic and pre-show. But then after that, you know, you're walking up and you're looking at the back of the Millennium Falcon and these windows that are carved into the queue that just give this beautiful look at Galaxy's Edge. You know, you see the back of the Millennium Falcon, you see the ship that's raised up elevation on the rocks. You know, you can see Ogas from up there, whatever. Then you walk into the Millennium Falcon. And anybody who's a Star Wars fan has to appreciate walking through those metal hallways, and you got the clinking, and, you know, obviously that's where they were smuggling was a lot of times, was they would lift up the floorboards of those, and that's where they would do a lot of the smuggling, was in those hallways. And then you go and you see the, you know, the holocron table, you know, that's sitting there. And that's such an iconic scene from inside the Millennium Falcon. And the fact that you can go sit there and take a picture while you're waiting to do the attraction is super cool as well. They just did it right. They just did it right. They paid homage to one of the most important symbols of Star Wars that you possibly could have. And they just did the whole thing right. So literally from the minute you walk in to the minute you get on the attraction, I think they did a really fantastic job with that queue.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I know Carl and I are not as crazy Star Wars nuts as you are, Ryan, but walking in that for the first time, it was a surreal experience. It really was. You really felt like you were boarding the Millennium Falcon, and just being able to be so immersed in everything was awesome. It really was. That's just the easiest way to describe it. It was awesome.
You know, I may not be a crazy Star Wars fan, but I'm a crazy Millennium Falcon fan and a Han Solo fan. So that to me was the ultimate experience. I'll tell you, the very first time I did that, I was alone in the park and I went to the singles riders line, and that single riders line cuts out a huge portion. It's not just like the you know, Genie Plus lane that kind of skips over some of the theming and gets you sort of a different view. But if you're in the single rider line, it skips a real large portion, including the animatronic portion of the show. So when I did it, I was still excited and did the whole the Falcon thing and had a ball because it was my very first time. But then I had a better time when I went back the second time and I went through the whole queue, right? And did it with a group of people. So I, you know, and that's why I think the attraction is still higher up on my list, is I had those two different, the first, the excitement of being such a fan and being in it. And then the second time of getting more enjoyment out of it, having seen the whole pre-show in addition to it. So yeah, I agree. That's right up there on the Rushmore. You know, I'm going to not say the one I was going to say next and leave it for a later discussion. Because I think it's, now I'm going to talk about it. So Rise, right? Yeah. The problem, great. But the problem I have with Rise is it's so well done. The whole thing feels like an attraction, not a queue.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking really the same thing, right? Like you don't know where the attraction starts and where the queue ends.
Right. So let's, for these purposes, let's say that the queue ends at the first entrance to the attraction portion, right? The first ride, if you will. It's not really a pre-show. It's that first launch into space, right?
Right before that, right? So the pre-show, the first pre-show with Rey and BB-8 and the hologram, I think that's probably the cutoff point. Even though you wait in line a little bit more after that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the cutoff point.
Right. Okay. Just taking it to there, still a very, very good cue. You feel like you're on the inside track of being a rebel, right? And kind of working your way to think about that if you were volunteering to destroy the Death Star, right? And you were being brought in secretly and preparing, and you kind of feel like you're getting prepared. You go through all the sites where the uniforms are and the guns and everything, and you feel like, wow, this is, you know, I'm waiting for my turn to suit up and get into the action. And then you're inspired by the pre-show with Rey and BB-8, right? Like, okay, this is going to happen. So I think it's still great. The transition from, again, outdoors to indoors is good. That's important in Walt Disney World, because you can't have 100% of your queues in large attractions like that all inside, right? It just takes up massive building. You want to be for the air conditioning and everything, but it's not practical. And actually, any attraction in Orlando, most of the good ones are a great, you know, combination. And this is hard because there's so many good ones at Walt Disney World, but there's as many good ones down the road at our friends at Universal too.
Yeah.
So, some that become like Rise, more of the show than the actual queue. But I think Rise has to be on there, that Mount Rushmore.
100%. Rise is the George Washington on that roundabout. if you literally can't tell where the queue ends and where the attraction begins, that's the goal.
Right.
That's the goal. And you know, one of the other things I want to point out about that is the little details. Right. For especially for a Star Wars fan, again, there are a number of artifacts. Number one, throughout all of Batuu from the movies, that are actual artifacts from the movies, but in that queue, you know, in the lockers where you see the helmets and you see the jumpsuits and you see all that kind of stuff. The other thing that you have too is just the buttons on the wall, you know, functioning or non-functioning. You know, they just look like they're straight out of the Star Wars universe. I mean, it's really like you can walk up and press on those things just for the fun of it. And you know, you feel like you're going to close a door somewhere, you know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And we're not even talking about once you get to the stormtroopers, right? I mean, like we're not even considering that part of the queue, but if we did, who the frick has a queue that makes hair raise up off your forearms because it's so cool, right? I mean, like, that's, yeah, unbelievable.
But okay, so we have the three. Ryan, put that fourth face on the Mount Rushmore of queues.
You know, what's interesting, too, is I don't think it's a coincidence that all three of the ones that we've named already are all the newer ones, right? It's very obvious that Disney has put this here. I kind of want to mess with you and put a fourth one up here on the Mount Rushmore, just because of the originality. I'm not going to, but I'm going to give you an honorary mention instead, Carl. And this is a dude show, so I'm bracing for impact. But the first queue that really was designed with the interactive feel at Walt Disney World was actually Little Mermaid. Was Little Mermaid. So again, I'm not going to go too much into it. Especially because these days you walk through that queue in about 3 minutes and you don't even appreciate it all. But I do want to give a nod to it because that's where this all started. So before we go too far into the rest of them, I think that's maybe on the back side of the mountain. You know, nobody wants to admit
it there. Do you really think so? I was going to go further back for attractions that I think started before that. I guess if you keep going back, it's had to start somewhere. And you're saying, you know, in the next generation started there.
Yeah.
But there was newer ones in, you know, in the Magic Kingdom that were not opening day attractions, but came later on that did it. And then around the time the Little Mermaid was done, I think a lot of them got refreshes, right?
They did do a lot of refreshes, but like the actual putting of, you know, animatronics and things like that in the queues,
right?
I mean, that's Little Mermaid, you know, when I'm not a huge Little Mermaid fan outside of Ariel, right? But the seagull, you know, is talking to you in the queue. And I wanted to take that and transition it to what my pick would be for this next one. And again, it's at Hollywood Studios. But I actually really like the queue at Toy Story Mania. It's debatable whether or not we put it up on the Mount Rushmore, right? But what I really like about it is that feeling that they put that you're a toy. You know, you walk in and you're shrunk down to the size of the toy. So you have the oversized, you know, picture viewer, you've got the oversized deck of cards, you know, all of that kind of stuff is really cool. But then of course, stealing the show is Mr. Potato Head, you know, interacting with the crowd as you go. And I think that's just such a cool idea that they put that in. Now, mind you, they stole that over from California and they brought that into Toy Story Land from there, but it's still there and it still deserves the love.
Yeah, no, he makes the cue, right? He makes the cue. Yeah, wouldn't you agree, John?
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes that cue. I will say too, like you mentioned, that perspective and everything that you get when you get in there, you do feel like you're a toy. I mean, again, now with Toy Story Land and everything in Hollywood Studios, it's a little bit different. But before, when that land didn't exist, when you went on that ride, that gave you that perspective instantly. The moment you walked in indoors, you definitely felt like you were shrunk down. Especially with the original entrance and everything. Now it's a little bit different with everything else in that land and that new entrance and all that, but still, it's really, really, really well done.
Okay, so we have our three on Mount Rushmore of queues, and Ryan, I'm going to consider that a nomination for the fourth spot, and let's have John and I all put our nominations up and then vote for that fourth one. How's that?
Works for me.
Okay, so John, give us a little bit of your insight on what you think would be one of the top cues remaining we haven't spoken about.
One I'm going to throw in here, I don't know if it's that good to get up there, but I feel it does again deserve a nomination at least, is the cue of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and what they do a little bit with that one. You definitely feel like you're being brought into that area, that land, that theme very quickly the moment you enter that queue, especially the way that the queue kind of goes down a little bit and then kind of comes back up. You definitely feel like you're going through the forest. And then you get into the kind of shaded area, that has some interactive elements. Again, it's not like some of our real winners here. Again, those came a little bit later after Seven Dwarfs and everything, so the bar was definitely raised. But just looking at some of the elements, again, with some of the interactive elements, with a little bit of the water interaction going on. And then once you get inside the actual physical building, you've got the drums that are giving off the light colors with the different gems and everything. I definitely think it definitely breaks up the monotonous of the queue a little bit, because again, that queue can be very, very long, and it definitely helps. So again, I don't know if it just completely deserves being on the Mount Rushmore, but I think it definitely at least deserves being an honorable mention.
That's a reasonable nomination. I think that kind of, you know, came right after the Mermaid, so that if you're thinking about timing of when queues got more sophisticated, that's reasonable, wouldn't you say, Ryan? It's a reasonable nomination.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it. I could toss out another one that I think is very similar to it, just in the way that it interacts with, you know, the kids and whatever. I'll save that until the next one I pick, but I'm probably leaning towards an honorable mention with that one. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so here's my nomination for the fourth top four. And I, this one for me is a personal experience too, for my fondness with Epcot. But I think, you know, anytime the queue does that blending and does that storytelling, sets the mood, does a great job. And I was overwhelmed by the queue and the pre-show for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah.
The whole concept that, you know, the pavilion is an other world showcase pavilion, right away I was like, okay, I'm in. I'm buying into this concept because they did the play on World Showcase. The Wonders of Xandar. The Galaxarium, that planetarium is beautiful. You know, it's impressive. But it starts to tell that story, the differences between the two planets. And then you head into that Xandar Gallery, which is, has all the models and the videos. And there's different subtle references to the both the Guardians and the Disney parks in there, right? If you pick up on it. And that's where I get like, okay, this was an old attraction building they're using to do this, and it's bringing back memories. And a lot of times they'll do that too, right? When they renovate a, there'll be a the hidden reference to the attraction that used to be there, right? And so they get into that, but they get into multiple. And then the pre-show, when, you know, he's talking about, I can't wait to see the Epcot of 1982 and talking about all the stuff that's not there anymore. I just, that was, to me, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Being an Epcot fan. But that whole process really, it does prepare you. It's got, you know, the corny transition into it is that something's gone wrong and we're going to help save. I mean, that's been overplayed in so many queues, not so much Disney World, but certainly Universal does that. Right. So that whole thing is okay, here we go. But it does get you pumped up to like, okay, here we go, right? It sets the tone of setting it that you're gonna save the galaxy again. I think that was a transition that really, it was gonna be looked at a lot of critical eyes, ripping out that attraction and putting that new one there. You know, everyone wants to always add something rather than replace. And I, you know, it's certainly one of the top attractions at Disney World, but I think the queue makes, if you go in there with any disbelief or that, oh man, they ruined this great attraction, it's, you overcome that in the queue, right? You immediately become a fan going through that queue. At least I did. So that's my nomination for the fourth best.
I think it's a good call. I feel like we missed an opportunity to go old school and turn this into a draft. I really do, because the more I think about the more I think that, you know, these things, we could have a lot of fun with this. But the reason I thought of that is because it was one of those moments like I used to have in the drafts where you were talking, I was like, damn, Carl's right, this is a good one. But then I went, you know, I could argue this. You know, so the one argument I have, everything you said was 100% spot on. The one argument I have, too many video screens, not enough animatronic feel,
right?
And that's not Disney. That's Universal.
Right.
That's more Universal, right? But that's not Disney.
And that's probably why I got that vibe. I told you I got that vibe about the setup, and that's why,
because of
screens.
But with that said, yes, it's an awesome queue, and the whole experience is super cool, and you feel entertained all the way through, and there's a lot to look at. So I think there's other options before we vote. Okay. Talk about. I think at least, if nothing else, some more honorable mentions that we should talk about. One of the ones there's a few that I want to talk about. I want to kick it back to John though, and give John another shot, because I've named a couple already.
So another one I'm going to throw in here, and I know I'm going to get some flack from you guys for what it is, but I do think they do a really good job on it.
Barnstormer.
No, we're staying in Epcot.
Okay, good.
Figment.
No, it's not Figment either.
I'm just gonna keep guessing.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let you keep guessing until you get it. If you want to play
Ratatouille, Frozen.
There you go.
Is it Frozen?
Yeah, I do think they do the queue very well now.
Only you.
Yeah. So
see, go ahead.
I'm willing to listen to your argument before I shoot it down. So go ahead.
Hey, I mean, I'm not surprised. I figured Carl's going to shoot it down. I just, I just feel that the way that it's done, again, it's frozen. It's not really, doesn't have its place in the show so much being a dude show, but I do think it's well done. It's well designed for what the ride is. It definitely gives that transition from coming outside inside very well. And it definitely does kind of start to tell the story. And again, it's not anything crazy. It's not like Guardians. It's not like Pandora. It's not like any of those. But again, it's an honorable mention.
Dishonorable mention. Okay, got it.
It's by no means. It's not competing with
the biggest.
It's not.
I like one thing about the Frozen queue, and that's when you go through the little house and Oaken is there, and he goes, "Yoo-hoo!" That's it. I could care less about anything else. Like, you're right. It sets the story for what you're getting into, but yeah, Carl.
Yeah. So here's the problem I have with that. So everyone knows that they reverse the ride, right? And that the exit is now part of the queue of the extras. So that village was there as you landed in that Norway village and they revamped it. So that's how you just boarded where the normal exit was, but they reutilized that queue. So to me, that just makes it sadder, the fact that they kind of destroyed and bastardized something that was authentic with this fictional land where, you know, where snowmans live in the summer. I mean, Jesus. So
this is about living in the summer.
Yeah, whatever. I don't pay attention to him. He's so bad. So, I mean, that's part of my problem with it. And then they did everything cute. They had gorgeous, authentic stuff in there that was originally, you know, carved by artisans from the Scandinavian countries to make it authentic when they brought people in. That's what they did with Epcot. They had the artisans come in from those countries and they take things like those beautiful, authentic lanterns and they put silhouettes of the frickin' girls on it. And then to even be more annoying, the background music is all authentic Norway music, but it's really the soundtrack from Frozen. So you think, oh, okay, I'm listening to something authentic in Norway. No, it's the same crap music that were stuck as an earworm in your freaking head for months. It's an awful cue.
The draft opportunity. We totally missed it. We totally missed it. All right, I'm going to jump back to mine. I'm not going to lie. I was really hoping John would give us a gem. He did. he never disappoints, folks. No, I'm going to go into one, and that's Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And this is one that I would put on the contenders list because it's such a cool concept with the pre-show and the way that, you know, the screen explodes and then you walk through the screen and you walk into the cartoon, you know, and from that point forward, you are part of the cartoon all the way up until you leave. And when you leave, you walk back out through that screen and then you're back in the human world. Right. I just think that was a really good job of Disney with taking that concept of what is a really innovative ride and using that track. And even though maybe they bastardized another one of your favorites, Carl, but at least with this one, they made the queue make sense for the ride that they were doing. And I think it was just another one where it's a newer attraction. The Imagineers did a really good job of finding a way to make it interactive with you to understand that it's part of the attraction, not just a line that you're standing in.
No, I agree with this. I will agree with what you said. That concept to me was always a wow factor when they did it, because you know, they're using that pre-screening room, which was from the original, the Great Movie Ride, right? It's the same theater, but they decided to set it up this way. I think, you know, going back to Mary Poppins, when the live action jumped into the scene of the cartoon, the chalk drawings that Bert did, and they were in the cartoon with the animation. Disney's done that a lot of movies, right? Humans with animation. So when you see one of those classic Disney movies where the humans jump into the cartoon, it's a cool thing. And even though this is not one of those actual scenes from the movies, the concept is the same, right? I'm going to jump into the cartoon. So how many times have you seen that on the screen? Is, wow, isn't that clever? What would it be like to jump into a cartoon? And now you actually get to do it, right? Yeah. You physically get to do it. So I think that's, it's not elaborate, it's not long, but it continues the story and it makes it a high point. It's like now, and when you pass that wall, everything in the next room is totally true to form, right? And the rest of the ride, it looks, it's like, how do they do make everything look like a cartoon? The only thing that doesn't look like a cartoon once you pass that is the cast members.
Right. And even then they dress them up in the goofy hat and try to do, you know, it's not like they didn't try to at least put them in cartoonish, like.
No, I mean, the only thing I would have done to do that is it could have given them masks, right? Cartoon masks that.
Yeah.
Would do that. That would have been safe for them to put on. It might have been a little too creepy, but I mean, that would have been the only last thing they could have done. That and gloves on their hands so they looked like Big Mickey hands or something, right? Yeah. But that probably would be a safety factor. But that's it. I mean, that did such a good job on that. So
I just got this mindset of the characters themselves actually waving you in. Like Mickey's like, yeah, come into my cartoon, you know? Right? Like, why is Minnie pressing the button for us to go? You know, I don't know.
Right. That would be the next level. Right. Yeah. So I just had this vision of what's the attraction at Universal where the guy's dressed like the Dr. Seuss character and he presses the button and the train goes away. Right. And he's dressed right like that. Right.
Yeah. The Seuss trolley. Yeah.
The Seuss trolley. Right. That's the only one. It's like, wow, that guy is, you know, eerie as far as he looks like a cartoon, but, so I would agree
when we were there. Dude.
I think I've seen it once before too, but yeah. So anyways, I would put that right next to my Guardians of the Galaxy nomination, as one of the remaining slots. So you've given a couple and I've given one so far. I don't want to go, there's some good old school cues that have got revamped and made them even better, which I think needed to be done. And I don't want to throw those into this mix because some of the more modern attractions are there. I'm going to go back to Animal Kingdom, and I think it was right before all these cues, a cue that kind of bridged these high-end cues we're talking about and was right before that, did a very good job at a cue, but wasn't quite up to the caliber of some of the stuff we're talking about for the top four or five, is Expedition Everest, right? And that one, to appreciate it, I think you have to be one of Joe's fans and understand the work they did to build Animal Kingdom and the attractions, because I did the reading on that. And a lot of those items in there are authentic artifacts that they brought back. And because when you go through a queue like that, you're thinking, okay, this is, you know, something fake that was recreated. But when you read that it was stuff that was collected on their expeditions, two things happen is one, it makes you want to go to the Nomad Lounge and Tiffin's, really, because that's full of artifacts too. Uh-huh. And so you're kind of tied into what the Imagineers do. And two, it makes you appreciate that cue more. So, you know, I guess it's an honorable mention category, but I think it was one of those top levels that got you to the next level in Pandora, right? As far as the quality. And it's also the authentic one. I appreciate it because, you know, it's a step above the revamped Jungle Cruise queue. You know, when the queues were first built at Disneyland, they were just a place to get you out of the sun. There was nothing going on. There was like the Jungle Cruise, it was just switchback ropes that we clicked on. There was, and fans to keep you cool and the shade. There was no house where the captains hung out. There was no animatronics. There was no music playing in the background. There was nothing there to expand your imagination about the voyage you're about to take. They've done all that now, right? And because that safari or expedition theme is on Expedition Everest, I think I appreciate it even more because it ties in with that whole concept is you're going on an adventure. And that's what these attractions are, right? You're going to an adventure. So I'm preparing to go on this adventure, right? In those cases. So so that's one of my favorites.
I think it's fitting, right? I think that's fitting for you. I also think it's just a fitting for this list. I mean, Expedition Everest, just from looking at it from the outside, it's one of the few queues that you can stand outside of the queue and look at the queue and be like, that's kind of a cool queue, you know, without even experiencing the queue, because a lot of it you can see, right? But a lot of it, just like from the multicolored flags to, you know, the backdrop of the mountain to, you know, the beware of the Yeti, you know, signs and symbols, or just the sculpture of the Yeti that's in that, you know, the cabinetry that's in there. Like you said, a lot of that authentic, you know, stuff that was brought back, and that just feeling that you're going on an adventure. It's reminiscent of the Jungle Cruise before you go on the Jungle Cruise, just that same kind of feeling to it, would have been on my list too. So I would definitely give that a high honorable mention, kind of like Toy Story Mania, right? Where I think it's just a really cool queue. Probably not on the, I was going to say the Mount Everest.
But you meant the Mount Rushmore.
On the Mount Rushmore.
Maybe it is on the Mount Everest.
It is on the Mount Everest. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a good one for sure.
Yeah,
they did. I struggle when I'm thinking about more of them, because they did so many that were like interactive and they're fun for kids. And, you know, like Winnie the Pooh is an interactive, fun queue for kids. It's not, I wouldn't put it on this list. I'd put it above Frozen, but I wouldn't put it on this list otherwise. But it's, you know, one to talk about, because I think a lot of people with kids are relieved with a queue like that, because the kids have so much to do. You don't have to worry about the kids kicking in the shin every 3 seconds or crying, or why are we waiting in line for so long? You know, so that kind of stuff. I think that was smart on their behalf. But one I will definitely bring up that I like a lot, Big Thunder Mountain. I think Big Thunder Mountain does a really good job of theming the queue to the ride. Again, I wouldn't put it on the Mount Everest of this list, but I just, you know, everything inside of it, you know, caution explosions, or, you know, being able to mess around with things overlooking the ride while people are going on the ride, even the way you go down the ramp to the ride itself, I think is just very fitting for the ride. So I don't want to go too deep into it, because it's not like a super awesome one, but I like that one a lot too.
Yeah, I that was one, if you weren't going to mention, I was going to mention that one, honestly. I would definitely say that one, especially with the interactive elements. Again, it's not like the rest of these big ones that we've mentioned before, but it does a really good job of creating that sense of starting to immerse folks in the ride. By the dynamite, all the different pulleys and all that fun stuff. It's great for the kids. It is great for the kids. It's kind of like the same thing with Winnie the Pooh, where you get the kids distracted for a little bit and they're not bothering you, and you've got them getting their attention on something else while you're waiting in the long line. It is a really good one for that.
So John, why don't you take a stab at this, right? Best second generation queues. Let's talk about those, right? They were queues, probably traditional Disney queues, and they went and did something to them, right? To improve them, right? And make them more interesting. I think the Magic Kingdom, I gave Jungle Cruise as an example. It was one way and they improved it. I think there's several of these in the Magic Kingdom that exist and were improved. And then probably that's got the most density of these kind of queues. There are a couple others in other parks, but why don't we think about those for a second?
John, I swear if you say Princess Fairy Tale Hall.
No.
I know what you should say for your wife's sake.
Yeah, I do like that one. And you know, so I'm going to go with Peter Pan here. They did do a good job with this one, with the revamp of it, especially going in that room that's got all the interactive fun stuff there, with Tinkerbell, all the different elements that kind of go with that, all the motion tracking, all that. It's well done, especially for a queue that had nothing there really before. And again, it's another one that kind of breaks up the monotony. It's not one that's going to be one of the top tiers, but it's definitely mentionable. And they do a good job with it. it's well themed, it's well integrated. I really think that's kind of the best way to describe it there.
Yeah, and that would, you know, that along with Frozen would put you last place if this was a draft.
Well, luckily this is not a draft, and I'm not worried about that.
Little do you know, I'm keeping track of all these.
Ryan, do you have a, you know, revamped
queue? It's your pick, Carl.
Oh, it is. Okay. It's my pick. It's pick.
Well, I guess this is turning into a draft.
That's so funny. Ryan, no, seriously, Ryan, do you have a revamp queue that you can think of that they've done a better job with improving
it? I don't know about revamped. I'm trying to think. I wasn't going, my brain wasn't going in that direction. I definitely have a queue in mind, just not necessarily.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, a queue that I think, and maybe it was revamped, Star Tours. Star Tours, I mean, why not finish out the Star Wars stuff, right? Star Tours, I just love the fact that you walk into Star Tours and you've got that, you know, spaceships, and you've got R2-D2 and C-3PO, you know, and it's just, again, it's not anything fancy, it's not anything crazy or interactive, but again, for a Star Wars fan, it's cool to see the ships and see R2-D2 and hear R2-D2 talking to you while you're waiting to go on the ride.
So the pre-show was revamped when they changed the actual show. So there was definitely some revamp work there.
I didn't remember as a kid. So fun fact about me, but I couldn't when they the original version of it, I got really bad like claustrophobia and motion sickness being on it, that I didn't go on the ride again for a long time. And it wasn't until after I went to Universal and did more of the motion simulators and 4D type attractions that I tried it again, and then I was fine. But as a kid, I had an issue with it. So I don't really remember the original queue for it as much. And I thought it had been, I know the show had been redone because EJ Rex was the original pilot. Now it's C-3PO. So I knew that, right?
The whole thing was the show was the show.
Right.
They turned it to multiple seven options or whatever. They had to change the whole pre-show to more of that sort of travel agent tour guide kind of thing, which was still part of the first, but they played it up more because of the multiple locations and everything. They didn't, I want to say they changed some of the banter out front with CPO and R2-D2, but I can't be certain of that. If that part of it changed,
I'm sure we have listeners that'll let us know.
Right.
There's one or two in particular that I know are big Star Wars fans that'll probably be all over us for it.
So I've got one that was a great original pre-show cue, and it set the stage nicely. But then they did some improvements to it recently to make it more interactive. And that's the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't originally have as much going on in the graveyard as it does now. And it didn't originally have the interactive statues and water effects and the organ and things like that, the cemetery, right? Or the mausoleum outside. So, that's certainly, but the creepy tone that always set the tone in the pre-show and in the queue was the way the cast member greeted you and opened up those doors, and that cool breeze that hit you, that deliberately, you know, blowing that air conditioner on you to feel like you're getting a chill going into this place, right? That was, you know, the first time I ever experienced that deliberately use of air, and it was very clever. And then of course the stretching room, right? So that was always a classic one and a good one, and a little bit more to that than some of the other queues at the time. That was probably a more advanced queue when the Magic Kingdom opened. If you looked at all the attraction, that was probably the most, but then they added the interactive components on it because it is popular and you need to keep people entertained in line. And that was including adding the hearse and other things to look at as well. So I think they did a great, I think that's a great cue. And again, for me, the cues are about setting the mood, setting the tone, right? So you're not just jumping in a dark ride and blast, there you are. You're getting your mind is getting you ready and psyched up for it. And especially when you're a little kid, right? The anticipation of what I'm going on, right? And it's getting me ready and it's getting me ready till it kind of reaches. And Disney does that great. You know, every attraction has a beginning, middle, and end, right? And it reaches that crescendo in every scene. There's a, you know, banner scene. There's a showstopper scene in every attraction. And it comes right at the pinnacle of some event. You know, for the Haunted Mansion, it's the graveyard scene. And then it kind of gets a little quiet as you exit. But every attraction does that. For the Jungle Cruise, it's the elephant bathing pool, right? And then it gets a little quiet after. So everyone does that in that storytelling art. But the cue is what sets your mind ready for those adventures. So are there any other cues that we want to mention here before we wrap things up, dudes?
Tower of Terror, I think, excellent, does that really well, right? So I think my only problem with Tower of Terror is that it's a small section of the queue. You know, right before you go into the pre-show and you walk into the lobby, I think it does a really good job of setting up that creepy kind of scene. You know, there's a lot of outdoor there, which I understand is necessary. And then you walk into the pre-show, which is great. And then after that, you're just kind of like in an elevator shaft room. And I get it. It's service elevators. I understand the why. It's just not, I feel like they could have done more with that part of it. I don't know what. I'm not an Imagineer, but that's the only reason I wouldn't put it higher on the list. The lobby hotel part itself is fantastic. If they could have had you spend more time in the hotel, I think it would be easily up high on this list, but I think that's one that we definitely need to mention.
Jonathan, any other last ones you want to throw on the list?
Not really. No, I've got a couple ideas, but not really. Nothing that stands out that good. I think we've really covered, I think, the really good big ones that make sense to be in this list.
So we started out with three conclusive faces on Mount Rushmore and an empty face because we had so many honorable mentions. Do we have a definitive fourth on the Mount Rushmore?
If you ask me, it's probably still comes back down between Guardians and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I think, you know, if you ask me, that's probably the two that it still comes down between.
John, what do you think?
I would agree with Ryan. It's between the two. I would give it to Guardians just based on the fact of what it is with the big bang that it presents itself as. I think that it's the clear winner. I know that sounds kind of cliche saying that, again, because it is a big e-ticket. It's a new attraction. It's one of the newer class of rides. But at the same point, Disney did it right with this one. They definitely did. I mean, with all the money they've spent on this one, with everything they put into this one, it does make sense to be on that.
Well, and that was my nomination. So I think I know where my vote is.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that vote either. I mean, that's the thing. Like I said, the only knock I had on it is something I hope Disney doesn't do too much of, which is just how much they relied on video screens. You know, it's probably inevitable that they're going to do more of that. But yeah, it was a super cool cue, and the nods to the past and the perfect amount of humor from the Guardians of the Galaxy's movies was in it as well. I mean, it was just, they really did a great job with it. So I don't have any problem with it at all, honestly.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Dudes Dish Disney. And this is our cue to say goodbye. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation Planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.